Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again and welcome. My guest today, Sandy Austin, is the founder of Bionic, an international organization that supports and encourages students facing challenging times. Sandy was one of the school counselors most involved with the 1999 Columbine school shooting tragedy and helped with three other school shootings. She was president of the Colorado School Counselor Association twice and past American School Counselor Association's facilitator of the Crisis Professional Interest Network. Sandy has authored three books and speaks throughout the country on subjects such as bullying, school shootings, and suicide. Good morning, Sandy. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Thank you, Patty. It's such a privilege to be with you and your audience today. Thank you for having me.
Sandy, I have been in awe of your work for the longest time. It's just amazing what you do and the impact that you have had on probably hundreds and hundreds of young people. So why don't we start by telling us about Bionic? I didn't even explain in the introduction what the letters stand for, so I'll let you take it away with that. And what is the mission of the organization?
Thank you, Patty. So Bionic stands for Believe It or Not, I Care. It is not a robotics club. It stands for Believe It or Not, I Care. And what it is I have been a school counselor for 26 years, I believe it is. And so Bionic prevents bullying and suicide by inspiring and empowering kids to create caring school cultures, letting kids know that they are seen, they matter, and they are not alone.
And I'm sure that you have had quite a challenge with that, Sandy, because at our schools today, there's just so many issues going on. Would you tell us what events precipitated the creation of Bionic, Sandy?
You bet. So 20 years ago, we are in our 20th year of Bionic. It's just incredible. I can't believe that. But so what happened was, a lot of us know of the tragedy that happened at Columbine High School with the shooting there back in 1999. And then what happened is, I had student taught at Columbine about 17 years before that. And then when the tragedy happened at Columbine, I was back in the school district as a school counselor. And on the day of the shooting, on April 20th, 1999, we got calls to all the schools in the district saying for the mental health workers, if we could get out of our buildings. They were asking us to report to Columbine. Some schools were closer to Columbine, and there were the shutdowns in the schools there, the lockdowns, and so those people couldn't go. But I was far enough away on the other side of the district that I was able to go. And so what happened is, I, with my experience at Columbine the previous time when I was student teacher there, I really loved the community, and I really wanted to do everything I could to support them. And so I even, I was there for an entire week after the shootings, helping elementary schools start up again, helping in the crisis drop-in center where the Columbine students and their families or school staff were there getting help and that type of thing. We also had a teen center that we that had started up in the summer after the shooting, which happened in April again. So we had the teen center in the summer, and so I was there counseling there too. And so I spent hundreds of hours, became one of the most involved school counselors after that tragedy. And then over the next several years, I was on the crisis team for the district, and worked at three other school shootings in the area in Colorado. 2 years after Columbine, we had four suicides at my own school, and then another one the next year. After the suicides at Green Mountain, we had three within 1 month. And so what happened is, we went into the English classrooms talking to the kids and saying, hey, you guys, 1 month ago, there were three guys walking our hall, and they are not here anymore because of the suicides. And we said that we had heard that their friends had heard something, had heard warning signs, but they didn't know what to do. They didn't, no one ever trained them what to do if a friend is suicidal and what to look for. And so what happened is the kids didn't say anything. They didn't want their friends to get mad at them if they were wrong, if they were thinking there's concerns there and there weren't concerns, or they didn't want to break the confidence of their friend, and so they didn't say anything, and so those guys ended up taking their lives. And we found that different things impacted that, either being bullied, being new, being hospitalized, being sick, losing loved ones. Those are things that played a role in all the shootings and in all the suicides at Green Mountain too. And so after hearing that the kids didn't know what to do, it was interesting in one of those presentations in the classes, we were saying, you know, let us know if your friends are hurting so that we can help them as a staff. You guys don't have the training to help a friend who may be suicidal. And one of the girls in the back of a classroom where I was doing one of the presentations, she said, you know, I knew the third young man who took his life, and she said, I didn't want him to get mad at me. And I had a student council girl that was helping me with that presentation, and she said, you know, I knew him too, and I heard him say that. And I was concerned too, but I didn't want him to get mad at me either. But she said, now I'd rather have a mad friend than a dead friend. And so that's where I thought, okay, we've got to empower these kids. And so that's where I thought, I want to start a school club to empower kids to reach out to their hurting peers. And that's how I started Bionic.
That is just so heartbreaking to hear about those kids. And if only their friends had known who to go to and what to say. And that is just such a tragedy. And I know I have a friend who recently lost her grandson to suicide, and we were discussing it at one of our church groups. And one of the things we talked about is that a person who is contemplating suicide will often give off signs, will say things or do things that make a person kind of wonder. And that person is reaching out and saying, please help me. Then you have the other person who never gives any indication, and that's because they have already made up their mind and they don't want anybody to know because they don't want anybody to stop them. And that's where the danger is.
It sure is. And that's where what's interesting is all those four young men that took their lives, they didn't say anything to their counselors. But we had other kids that would say something to us and we were able to help them. But a lot of times the kids, that's why it's so important to know the warning signs and to be able to have the courage to talk to them or get some help. There are suicide hotlines. I believe it's 1-800-SUICIDE is a suicide hotline. And if you have a relative or a friend you're concerned about, feel free to call them. They want you to call them if you are thinking this person may be suicidal, or if you are suicidal, please contact them and let them know, get the help to understand what to do. And it's very, very important if you have any inkling that someone may be thinking about suicide. But some of the signs of suicide that people want to know is a change in behavior, change in their personality. What's interesting is, as you mentioned, that people that have decided to take their lives, they're not going to tell anyone because they don't want anyone to stop them. So let's say there's something with depression. If someone has been very, very depressed and nothing really has changed for them, but all of a sudden they're very happy and seem very peaceful and seem very, very different, and you don't know of anything that has happened that is a reason for that, then you want to follow up. And that, what happens with that with suicidal people that have decided they have a peace because they know everything's going to be done, they're going to be done, they don't have to worry about anything anymore. And so that's why they have, it seems like a peace, or that seems like they are happy now. But that's because they've made up their mind that they're going to do it. So that, and people that are isolated, people that are pulling away from each other, people that are giving up their prized possessions, people that are starting to contact people that maybe they haven't been in touch with for many years and that type of thing. And And they're doing that with a lot of people. And to know what they're saying, sometimes they're saying their goodbyes, but they're not saying the words goodbye. Those are some signs. There are people that their behaviors are changing. They're using substances a lot more. They are just very, very down more so than ever. So there are lots of warning signs out there that I don't have enough time now to cover them all, but people can do a simple look online, search online to find all the different warning signs.
Sandy, do you train your students in any way to be able to assist young people or to assist their friends, or do you pretty much train them to go talk to an adult about what they are suspecting in a maybe suicidal or hurting in some other way? How much of a part do the students play in supporting their fellow students?
So what happened is when the suicides happened at Green Mountain and the tragedy happened at Columbine High School, both schools had peer counselors. And the situation was that we were training kids how to talk to kids that were depressed and maybe suicidal, and how to do conflict mediations if there were relationship problems, if the kids were having problems with studies and things like that. We were teaching them so many things. But the problem was how hard the kids were working. The problem is they did not have master's degree in counseling like all of us school counselors that typically run a lot of the groups, a lot of the bionic teams. Sometimes the kids would say the wrong things, even though they were trying and they thought they were helping the kids. And so that's where a lot of peer counseling programs have gone by the wayside now because of the liability issues. And again, even though we were trying hard, we weren't really helping the kids with that. And so what we do with Bionic is it's a simple thing. So what the kids were going through, again, that took their lives or shot up Columbine, again, they were typically new, they were bullied, they were hospitalized, they lost loved ones, they had those different situations going on. And so what we do is as a Bionic team, we teach the kids, the outreaches that we have for new students, we have breakfast to welcome the new students into the school and then to try to connect our bionic kids with those new students to find out what those new students are interested in so we can connect them with other kids in the school of like-minded interests. So if a kid is interested in music and choir, then our bionic kids connect them with kids in the choir so they can connect as quickly as possible and feel that they belong in the school. Kids that are sick, what we do is we send them information, a get well packet to help them, because a lot of times those kids, there are so many things going on for them and they're worried about missing the work at school. Maybe the older kids are worried about homework. And so what we do is we send a get well packet with an inspirational card and saying and personalized card. We send them tutoring information, homework helps and all that type of thing so that they can stay connected with the school to know what's going on. Hospitalized, kids that are hospitalized, 95% of the time that we have gone and visited a kid that's in the hospital, the parents would say, "You guys are the only ones from school that came to visit, and you don't even know my kid." And they said, "Thank you," because he or she was beginning to feel forgotten. Kids that are bullied, what we do is we have a prevent bullying by just saying hi program, where we encourage the kids with H, get help from an adult if you see or hear of bullying in person or online or wherever, because the adults know what to do with the kid that's bullied and the bully. They'll take care of it. And so we don't encourage kids to get in and try to stop the fight if that's what's happening. But we just say, look for an adult as quickly as possible to help. But then the most important part for the kids, for our Prevent Bullying by Just Saying Hi program, is initiating contact with that bullied student, hopefully sometime that day. If they saw it in the school, they can say, "Hey, that was wrong. You didn't deserve it." And they can say, "Hey, you know, I walk down the hallway that same time every day. Do you want me to walk down the hall with you? Or do you want me to walk down the hall a little bit behind you so I can watch and see if anyone else is giving you problems?" That type of thing. Or, "Hey, I see you eat lunch alone. Why don't you come and eat lunch with me and my friends?" Or that type of thing. So initiating contact to let the kids know, "Hey, there is support for them at school and help them save face and know that there are kids there that will be in their corner. Also, then when kids that lose loved ones, what we do is it depends on the school. The first school that I did Bionic at, it was a little small bedroom community, and we delivered pies once a month to families of our students that lost loved ones. The second school I was at, it was the largest choice enrolled school in the district, and so we couldn't deliver pies, and so it would just take too long. What happened is we had a mug and some comfort food at school where we would give it to the kids. We'd call them down and say, hey, we're sorry to hear about the loss of your loved one, and we just want to let you know we're thinking of you, and we would tell them about the supports they have at school as they were going through that difficult time. As we kept doing these outreaches and everything, the kids kept coming up with other ideas, and they said, hey, Miss Austin, can we reach out to other schools that experience tragedy? And so what we do is we do these big posters. It depends on the school that's receiving them. It depends on the size of the school that has the Bionic team and what, you know, resources they have. But typically at my schools, we made a 30-foot poster on butcher paper, and put it out in the cafeteria and asked people to sign the posters, and then we would deliver it to the school or mail it if it was out of our area. For schools where there's a death of a student, a death of a staff member, where there are school shootings or tornadoes or even like the tsunamis in Japan that were there many years ago, things like that, we reach out, because what happens is the kids want to let those other schools know that they care about them, and they want to try to send them support for them as they're going through that. Where I got that idea from, Patty, is when I was counseling the Columbine kids in the summer after the shooting. One day after finishing with a student, we went out in the cafeteria to say goodbye, and there were four posters out there. This is the first time that these showed up. One was about 10 feet long. It was white with white butcher paper with blue paint. It was from an elementary school in Japan. And what happened is Yes, they drew around their hands and put the name in the palm of their hand. And so I asked the girl, I said, you know, what do these posters mean to you? And she got tears in her eyes. And she said, you know, Sandy, she said, you know, we appreciate what the adults are doing. They're giving us Chick-fil-A sandwiches at the youth teen center. They're giving us books. They're doing all those types of things. But these posters, and she started crying even more. She said, these posters show that there are kids all over, now even around the world, that are supporting us and that are trying to give us their strength. She said, that's what gives us the strength to keep going on. And so that's way back with that Columbine tragedy. I thought, ooh, when we wanted to reach out to other schools, I thought, we want to do those posters. And we've even heard how we've prevented suicides through those posters, sending them to other schools. I can tell you a story of one of those that's just very powerful of what we've been able to do for other schools.
We'll hear that story after the break, where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with host Patty Sheen. My guest today is Sandy Austin, founder of Bionic, which stands for Believe It or Not, I Care, an international organization that supports and encourages students facing challenging times. If you would like to listen to this episode again, or hopefully refer it to friends and family, it is on archive. The most current 5 episodes can be found on the homepage at pattysheen.com. That's spelled PATTISHENE.com. The Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page will give you access to archived episodes. Under each episode is a More Information tab that provides links to guest website, social media, and other resource information. Let's return to our interview with Sandy. Tell us that story, Sandy.
Okay, all right. So there was a school in our area that a student had. He was a soccer player, and at the end of a soccer game, he just keeled over and died. He had a heart condition. So anyway, we heard about that. So we did a big 30-foot poster. We probably got about 400 signatures on that poster, and we mailed it to that school. The next week, one of my Bionic kids, came running into my office. Miss Austin, you wouldn't believe what happened. I said, what? What happened? And she said, there was a girl that we lived next door to each other, and we were born a week apart, and we were best friends. We were next door neighbors. We were best friends through first grade. And she said, then in first grade, she moved, and she said, I've never heard from her since. And it had been about 10, 12 years, something like that. And she said, I got a Facebook friend request from her last night. And so, and the girl said, hey, once I accepted it, she said, can we talk on the phone? She said, yes. And so what she said is she said, you know, I go to that school, and I saw the poster from your school in our cafeteria, and I was looking at it, and I saw your name, and I started to cry. She said, the guy who died was my boyfriend, and she said, I was even thinking of suicide because I was missing him so much. But she said, now, seeing that, she said, I knew I was going to be okay. And so even there, we prevented a suicide with that big 30-foot poster. It was just powerful. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Well, I guess so, Sandy. Mm. You're making me want to cry here. Oh, my goodness. That is just phenomenal.
Oh,
wow.
Thank you, Patty. It's just incredible to see these kids. You know, there was another girl. What's amazing, Patty, is the skills that these kids learn in Bionic. There was a girl that stopped by to see me during her spring break in college, and she was in Bionic for 4 years, and she came back and said, Miss Austin, you know what I learned from Bionic? She said, there was a girl on my floor in my dorm that had lost a loved one, and I noticed everyone was avoiding her because they didn't know what to say. She said, I didn't know her, but I went and bought a Snickers candy bar and got an index card and wrote on it, I heard you lost a loved one. I know it can be tough. Just want to let you know I'm thinking about you. And so she went up to her and said, hey, you know, you don't know me and I don't know you, she said, but I heard about the death in your family, and I just wanted to let you know I'm thinking about you and that I know it can be tough, especially with finals coming up. And she said, so I just want to let you know I care, and if there's anything I can do for you, I would love to help in any way. And the girl started to cry. She said, you are the first person that's talked to me in a week. She said, I'm from Kansas, and I don't know anyone around here. And she said, I would just sit in my room. And she said, because it was my grandma that died, and she was she basically raised me. And she said, my parents were divorced. And she said, it was so hard. She said, I was even thinking about suicide. And she said, thank you for caring. Thank you for knowing how to care and what to say. And that's the thing, Patty, is these kids, they learn these things, and what happens is they go on with their lives, and they're able to, they know what to say to someone that's lost a loved one. They know what to do. They know what not to say. They know, you know, just simple things about what to do. It was amazing. I saw one of our, we have two schools, elementary school and middle school, that are feeder schools, and they both have Bionic teams. One day, the middle schools were down at the elementary, teaching those elementary kids how to do the Bionic outreaches and everything. And so I was watching the middle schoolers teach the Bionic members what to say to new students. And so there's this girl, she's a kindergartner, and she was on the Bionic team, so they were teaching her what, you know, how to talk to new students to welcome them to school. So, oh, Patty, this was, oh, this melted my heart. So her name was Maria, she said. So she was practicing. She said, hi, I'm Maria. Welcome to our school. Where did you come from? It's like, oh, my gosh, this girl as a kindergartner, she is going to learn how to reach out to people all her life, all the way through eighth grade. Can you imagine what she's going to be doing in anyone that's hurting around her? She will know what to say. If a kid is hurting, she'll sit down at lunch with them and just say, how are you doing? What's happening? You know, I mean, girl, that's what is so fulfilling with this work, is teaching these kids to care, teaching the kids what to do when they see a need. I mean, that's what's amazing. The kids kept coming up with other ideas. Hey, Miss Austin, can we do this? I heard about this. It's just amazing how, Patty, it's like the kids have gotten their eyes off their phones, and they're looking around them instead of looking at their phones when they're walking down the hall. And they're looking for kids that are hurting. And it just, it's been the most incredible thing in my life. Just incredible just to see, and for these kids to be making a difference in other people's lives.
Oh, Sandy, that is just so inspiring. And I thought of about 20 questions I'd like to ask you as you were talking. One, I would like listeners to know how many schools are involved, basically, in Bionic.
You bet. We have about 150 schools officially that have registered and paid the registration fee and everything. The thing is that we've been doing it for 20 years. So for the first 16 years, 4 years ago, I started as a nonprofit. I retired early from education and started as a nonprofit because people were saying, Sandy, this needs to be in every school and everything. And so for the 14 years that I was running Bionic in the schools, I had over 1,200 students reach out to over 140,000 families, just people in the communities and those that are hurting. There are over 150 schools worldwide that officially have Bionic teams that have paid the registration fee. We've been running Bionic for 20 years. So for the first 16 years, what was happening is I was doing presentations at state and national conferences about Bionic, and I was president of the Colorado School Council Association a couple times, and so they were saying, Sandy, will you present at the conference? I was the crisis facilitator for the American School Council Association, and so they were asking me to do Bionic presentations at conferences. And so for 16 years I was doing that, wasn't paying anything for any other schools to do Bionic, and I was freely giving away all this stuff because I wanted everyone to do it. Patty, I think there are at least 500 schools out there. There could be 1,000 schools worldwide that have Bionic, because that's how I know I presented to at least that many. And it's just incredible. There are so many people out there. That's the thing is I wish, as a nonprofit, we have to raise funds. And I just wish I had the money to just give it away to everyone, that I didn't have to. We didn't have to print materials. We didn't have to, I just wish we could do it for free. Because that's it. It's changing the world. It's making the world a more caring place. And you and I have grown up in churches, and that's our dream, is to create a more caring world. And these kids are doing it. It's just amazing how they're just loving each other, learning how to truly love their peers and to help them through tough times. It's just been incredible.
Well, it is. Oh, my goodness. It is just phenomenal and amazing what you do, Sandy. And another question how is Bionic funded? You said that schools have a registration fee, I think you called it, if I heard you correctly.
Yes.
Is there any kind of national funding, government funding for the organization?
You bet. So we
And do you take donations just from the average person as well?
Oh, we sure do. We'll take anything anyone wants to help out with. So we have, so to start a brand new Bionic team, it costs $1,200. We send them T-shirts. We send a bunch of stuff. So it costs $1,200. And then every year after that, it's $600 for renewal. And then, we have to have money, raise money for the other fees, to, like I said, to do the trainings and all those types of things. So that's where we go for grants from foundations. And then some businesses have sponsored our bully prevention program for a year, or some of the different outreaches. If they want to donate some stress balls for the kids, and we'll put their logo on the stress ball and, things like that. And of course, donations. In fact, what's going on right now is this is the 20th anniversary, and what we're looking for this year is we thought, we want the kids to know how much the adults, the businesses, other kids, other alumni, people care about what they're doing and how they want them to be encouraged to keep doing it. And so to help with the funding, the extra funding that we need for, to pay for me for working for Bionic, and I'm the only person that is working for Bionic right now. We don't have the funds to have other staff members, but what we want to do is for all those things that, take money, what we're doing is we're looking for 1,000 people to donate $20. to say, I believe in these kids. I believe in these kids, and I want them to know I support them. And so 1,000 people at $20, just, and we'll have that, and the kids know, wow, there are 1,000 people around the world that care about what we're doing, and they're applauding us, and they're wanting to help us to provide a safety net for kids in schools, for kids that are struggling, and to let them know people do care, even from around the world, for them.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll certainly be praying for you that is a successful, Sandy, because the work that you're doing is something that we need so desperately today for our young people.
Thank you. Thank you. Patty, you know, what's interesting is there's one school that we've heard of that just recently, they've contacted us and they've said they want to start a bionic team. And that one school within the last couple months, it's an inner city school, and two girls got in a fight with another girl, and it was life-threatening. And so they stabbed that one girl in the eye, and then her big sister got in the middle of it, and they killed her. And so those two girls were involved in a murder to defend themselves. There was a girl that jumped out of a moving car to get away from an abusive dad. And then once she jumped out, he rolled back and ran over her. Just sad. Two girls came to the counselor and said that their little sister had just attempted suicide. The principal had a death threat against her from one of the kids. And then, to make matters worse, they found out that one of the staff members, there are 4 counts of child abuse by a trusted adult, by one of the paraprofessionals that was there, which is just so sad. So they're going through all that, and now they're calling us and saying, please, 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 we need a bionic team here. And so that's where it'll be fun to see how we can bring healing to that school and just empower kids to care about each other. But it's just so sad what's going on in this world, Patty. Oh my gosh, it's just so sad. But to see at that school, we've started the bionic team there, and seeing the kids and seeing what just them thinking that, okay, there is something I can do to help my school, to help my peers, because they were feeling so hopeless, thinking, what do we do with all this stuff? And so anyway, yes, just incredible what's happening and the difference we can make in the midst of difficulties. Oh my gosh, the things these kids that are dealing with now, we as adults, we haven't dealt with, you know, 1/10 of the things that they're facing and they're doing in this world. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. Yeah.
I think I read somewhere when I went to school, gum under the desk was a big deal, you know, and now it's trying to avoid being stabbed or shot. It's just absolutely unbelievable. I cannot begin. It's hard to believe that 25 years have gone by since the Columbine shooting. I think about that, and to me it still seems like only a few years ago, but when you look at 1999, it's been 25 years now, and oh my goodness, look at the shootings that we've had since. I mean, it's almost a weekly occurrence anymore. And it's gotten to the point where I think people aren't even shocked when they see it on the news these days. It's just another thing, you know, horrible. So my question to you is, how do you as a counselor work with these students who are traumatized by this? It's got to be so traumatic. And I would think it would just totally turn their whole lives upside down.
Oh, yes, it does, Patty. And, you know, what's interesting is, you know, I'm a person of faith like you. And so what I do, how I am able to do this every day, walk into those schools and empower these kids dealing with these different things, number one is I pray, you know, and Bionic is not a Christian club at all, anything like that, but we are just empowering kids to care about each other. But that's my strength. And so part of my prayer is wisdom, how to help each kid, because each kid is different with what they are dealing with. And so the thing is to train the kids and for me to think, okay, I need to find out what that kid's life is like, kind of what are some things that they have been dealing with and everything. So then we know how to help them and know, because everyone will look at every situation in life through that lens, what has happened in the past. For that kid that jumped out of a moving car because of an abusive dad, you know, they didn't think that they could die with that. They didn't think it. They just wanted to get away from that dad that was hurting them.
Right,
or
right.
There was such fear there or whatever. And so that's the thing is, number one, is making sure that school staff and the kids know, like I said, the kids do not counsel other kids in Bionic. What they do is they help them. And then let's say if they're in the new student lunch, then if they hear that a kid is at one of the new kids had a parent that died or a friend or someone that took their lives or something, then what they do is they tell the school counselors, this is what this student is dealing with, and then we can rally the forces there at school what to do to help that student and everything. But that's the thing is, in helping these kids, we just really need to find out what are their resources, what are they lacking as far as what to provide for them to help them get through that. And again, it's just so sad. Our world is in such a state right now that is so, there's so much hopelessness and that type of thing. And that's where, like I said, with me, you know, being a woman of faith, I am always praying, what can I do to help? And if I'm ever able to share, I can share, you know, my faith if they bring it up or if they are people of faith. If I know that, what's interesting is I heard Condoleezza Rice one time talk about being a woman of faith in her position as Secretary of State for the United States, dealing with all these world leaders. And someone said, well, you know, are you talking about Jesus all the time? And she said, no, I can't. That's not appropriate. You know, the best thing that I can do is do my job, learn the skills, learn what to do in the best way possible. And then if someone asks me and if it's appropriate and if I can do it, then I do share, but otherwise I can't. But anyway, so it's a interesting situation, but God, let me just say this. God needs people in every realm out there just to love people. I believe that every kid that I ever come across, every person that I come across is a gift to this world, and I want to help them find out how much of a gift they are, what it is that they can contribute to this world to make it a better place and in the lives of the people around them. And it's such a privileged position to be working with kids and working with people that are hurting. And, you know, when I'm working with kids, of course, that have lost loved ones, I'm working with the adults. I'm working with their parents. When I'm working with staff members that have lost loved ones, I'm working with them, the adults. And so that's where it's such a gift to be able to be with people in these tender times of life, to let them know that they're not alone, that people care and that people are there to care and to help them through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, oh my goodness, when I think back, I worked at a residential child care psychiatric facility for a few years. And I think you know that I have a background in psychiatric nursing. Most of the listeners probably know that because I've probably talked about it 25 times. But during my career, I was with the VA. I left them for a while and went to this residential child care facility. And you hear of horrific things that these kids deal with. But I don't think even when I was working back then, that there was that feeling of, if I go to school, am I going to get shot today?
I'm wanting to say that Columbine was one of the first. And then
it was the third
after
one.
That, yeah. It has just escalated to the point where it is absolutely unbelievable anymore. Thing, and there's so many other issues going on, you know. In Bionic, do you meet once a week? Or is it like, okay, every Wednesday we're going to meet? Or the first Wednesday of every month, or how do you do that? Is it like a club, like you've described it as a club more than once?
Yes. So it basically it's a school club, and so and we give the schools a little bit of freedom because elementary through college, they all have different schedules, different settings, different, you know, online schools, things like that. So what the typical Bionic team is they meet once a month as a big team where they all come together and talk about the outreaches they did the past month. They talk about the outreaches coming up and any special activities that they're going to be doing, any special outreaches or planned outreaches that they're going to do. Then each of the teams, it depends, you know, if it's a really small group of 10 kids, then they don't need a new student team, an extended illness team, a hospitalization team, a loss team, a school tragedy team, prevent bullying by just saying hi team in the bigger schools, though, bigger Bionic teams. They have once a month the big meeting where everyone comes together. And what I always like to do, too, is I like to have someone be kind of an inspirational speaker to the kids, say, you guys are doing amazing things. Keep going. You're making a difference in this world. For my schools, what we did is once a month we'd have the new student lunch, welcoming all the new students into the building. For the extended illness kids, the kids that are out sick 5 or more days, we just sent a message out to the kids saying, hey, guys, we have 2 kids that have been out 5 days now. Can you come down and create the get well packet for the kids? So they do that, and that's kind of whenever there's a need. When there's a loss of a loved one, once a month we would have the lost team deliveries where we would deliver the pies to the families. And that was when we had the veterans community schools that where there was a very small community, real close-knit community around them. We would do those pie deliveries once a month. For the other school where we couldn't do those deliveries, we would do those once a month. And then we would, for the hospitalization, those are the ones where we would send a message out to kids saying, hey, you guys, we're going to the hospital tomorrow after school, so meet at the school, you know, after school, you know, meet in the counseling office after school, and we'll head out. So those types of things. And then when there was a school tragedy at another school, we would hear about it. We always would always tell the kids, hey, you guys, be paying attention to schools around us that have a tragedy or the big national tragedies. We, you know, if we started doing that with every tragedy, we'd be doing 10 posters a day, so we can't do that.
Yeah.
We always did it to the schools around us, maybe in our district or in our community or our city, that type of thing, or state. And then some of the national tragedies that were getting some of the attention that they wanted to reach out to, they would do that. So all the outreaches of the different groups, we would do them either scheduled outreaches a certain day of each month, or those that, you know, when tragedy would happen, then we would respond right there and come up with those outreaches.
Mm-hmm. I figured that there had to be some structure as far as meeting every so often and being organized and talking about where you are, where you have been, where you're going. And your organization is just amazing. And I'm sure we could probably talk all day.
You bet I could.
Is there anything else that you really feel like, man, this is just paramount for listeners to know and we haven't discussed it yet?
Well, what's interesting is that one thing that's very, very important is empowering the kids to be able to be the leaders of the Bionic team. That was the biggest surprise for me. Our kids were getting national scholarships and scholarships to Harvard and Yale and Cornell and the top schools in the country and the top award in Colorado. We have something called 9 Kids Who Care, some of the big awards for philanthropy, you know, that type of thing, leadership awards. And I thought, why is this? You know, I had been student council sponsor for in schools when I was a teacher, and I did not see leadership built so quickly as I saw what's happening with Bionic. And I thought, why is it? Mm-hmm. And that's the kids. They go to the new student lunch and they hear a kid that is there as a new student because their parents are divorced. And so then they know how to care and they know how to reach out to that kid. And then the next day they go to the hospital and they're doing an outreach to a kid in the hospital. Then the next week they're going and doing a outreach to a kid's family that lost a loved one. And it's like they're learning how to say things, and they're getting the confidence to be able to reach out to other people. And so that's what's amazing is my alumni, the oldest, are 40 years old now, and what's happening is they are teaching their kids, their own kids, how to care. They're wanting to start Bionic teams in their businesses or in their churches with their youth groups or the women's ministries. They just learn this stuff. And one alumni during COVID, she said, she was about 35 then, she said, you know, Sandy, she said, hearing about COVID and all the food insecurities in my community, she said, I went to my church and said, we need to start a food bank. I will lead it, but I need you guys to help get the food and help organize everything and help with certain areas. They said, yep. So the thing is, we didn't teach her how to do a food bank, but we taught her how to see needs and then how to figure out how to bring in resources to meet those needs. And so that's what's powerful, is these kids are becoming leaders in their community, and they are making a difference in this world. And so that's what's just as amazing, is just to see what's happening. And if people have ideas or schools in their area, maybe there was a suicide at a school in their area, or there's a tragedy, a tornado or a blizzard or things like that, that where they're seeing, wow, we need to do something. They can go to our website, bionicteam.org, and see, they can contact me, sandy@bionicteam.org. That's on our website. They can look for that. Email me. But anything that we can do, but that's it. We all need each other. And that's the thing, is that a lot of religions in the world, a lot of people come against each other. Our government in America is so at odds with each other. We need to come together. We are living on this planet together. We need to learn how to get along. And these kids are great examples of how to do that. And that's what's so encouraging and powerful for me, and so rewarding. I've never gotten married, never found that right guy yet. Don't have kids of my own, but I have thousands of kids that keep in touch with me and say, Miss Austin, happy birthday. I just had my birthday a little bit ago, and a lot of those kids were saying, happy birthday, Miss Austin. And I mean, it's like I have kids all over the world now. You know, it's just precious. Legitimately, but you know, it's just amazing. I feel so. Joyce Landorf years ago wrote a book, Richest Lady in Town, and that's what I feel. Patty, I feel so fulfilled, and I know I'm going to be doing bionic to the day I die, and I feel so fulfilled and so rich, and I live a blessed life because I know every day that because of my efforts, people are finding hope, and people were saving lives. And so it's not me. God has helped me come up with all the ideas for Bionic and how to reach out and encourage kids and empower kids. And that's my hope and prayer and my dream, just to make this world a better place.
Yes. Well, Sandy, you have definitely been blessed with a wonderful ministry. I think the Lord laid this upon your heart years ago. My goodness, I can remember meeting you at one of Marlene Bagnell's conferences, probably in the early 2000s, you know? And
yes.
I mean, you have just accepted that challenge that he put before you, and you have done such wonderful, amazing things with it. And you're right. I mean, you have created a whole generation here of young people that are now in their 30s and 40s and that know how to go forth and impact their communities in a very powerful way. I can't praise you enough for that, Sandy, and may God continue to bless you in this ministry. And thank you so much for sharing what you did with us today. And I would encourage listeners, if this touched your heart in the way it has touched mine, I'm sure she would love to have you be one of those 1,000 people.
Yes.
Yes, you certainly have impacted our world in so many ways with Bionic, Sandy, and just with your giving, loving, compassionate heart for young people. And thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Patty. It's been a pleasure and a privilege. And thank you. You've touched my heart many, many, many times at those Carver Christian Writers conferences with Marlene too. So you have such a great heart and such a serving spirit. So thank you, and God bless you too, girl.
Oh, thank you so much, Sandy. Listeners, in closing, thank you so much for listening today. If you would like to listen to this show again, it is on archive. Go to my website, which is pattysheene.com. That's spelled PATTISHEENE.com. The most current 5 episodes are found right on the home page. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. It will give you a link to all the shows we have aired to date. Under each show is a more information tab. Click on that, and you will find more information about our guests, such as website and social media contacts. I can also be found on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Pinterest as Patty Sheene. Until next time, God bless you.